Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Friday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Having a little fun topically, although we're going to throw a few more headlines in this hour. We'll also take your Friday grievances all day long at 844-967-2789. I took a lot of notes, a lot of good ideas on how to get myself banned from Fox News in the future. A few other thoughts came in via messages, emails, etc. One of our fine, loyal fans, Robin, suggests just keep pounding them with questions. Where do they get their information from? Why do they believe what they're saying is true? Ask them if they believe what they're spewing is true. Why do you think it's true? Ask them what Title 42 is and what is Biden's border policy. Well, it's open borders, of course. You know how they'll answer. Also, my friend Hassel. And Haas, I mean that with all sincerity. You are a friend. But Hassel says, you know, I should take Betsy, not, you know, full Betsy, but the Betsy that called in hour one. I should take her good idea and expand upon it and quote the Bible on Foxy News. You know, something along the lines of Matthew 25, as thou hast done unto the least of them, thou hast done unto me. And then he quotes the Jesus and the Christ here. The ultimate progressive, as Hassel calls him. Yeah, that would offend a few of the Foxy News viewers, I suspect. And we'll try to offend a few more of the Fox News viewers if they're listening. You could be a part. 844-967-2789. Callers, be patient for just a few moments. I want to throw out a headline. Big Lie Barbie, not to be confused with Big Hair, and Big Lie Becky, as I've now come to call Becky Clayfish here, the gubernatorial candidate on the Republican side. But Big Lie Barbie, in this case, is Kellyanne Conway. And she was on the University of Wisconsin Whitewater campus yesterday, given, you know, sort of some conspiracy theories and some of her thoughts on free speech.
Falsehood, and they're giving Sean Spicer, our press secretary, gave alternative facts.
Yeah, the queen of alternative facts, Kellyanne Conway, former advisor to President Donald Trump, gave a speech Wednesday evening at UW-Whitewater, focusing on threats to conservative speech from progressives. It's always our fault. As she spoke in front of nearly 200 people. You know, I'd go run out in the traffic right now if I only had 200 people listening to me. There's way more than that listening on the radio right now. I'm quite confident. Speaking for about an hour in a half-full Timmerman Auditorium, which seats about 400. That's sad. That's a sad turnout. Conway railed against threats to free speech as she repeatedly told the audience, they were on the right side. You're on the right side. You folks, you are on the right side of issues ranging from immigration to abortion access, critical race theory, and charter schools, while dropping the names of many famous conservative figures she knows, including Trump and former Wisconsin Governor Scotty Wanker. Among the people in attendance was State Senator Steve Nass. Anyone from Wisconsin that knows Steve Nass knows this would be his kind of crowd. In the auditorium, flyers left on each chair from the campus police department gave guidance for exercising free speech safely, respectfully, and lawfully. A large number of police officers provided security at the event, which concluded without any disruptions inside or protest outside. You know, she's just not a big enough draw to actually draw a protest. The online announcement for the event included a statement that hosts reserve the right to remove disruptive or rowdy attendees. See, that's what I'm hoping to have happen to me on Fox News. Here's a quote. It tells you all you need to know about why the hard left, oh, at least she recognizes, you know, we are the hard left, wants to stop you, take out your voice box, and look the other way when you see injustice against conservatives, free speech, big tech censorship, and the rest of it, she said. They're afraid of everyone in this room. Conway was introduced by John Beauchamp, the chairman of the UW-Whitewater College Republicans, which hosted the event partnership with the Young Nazis Association. No, that's the Young America's Foundation, an organization run by the wanker, former Governor Scott Walker. Beauchamp, whose organization was allowed to invite a prominent conservative to speak on campus, complained of being shouted down. What was once the hallowed ground for the formation and sharing of ideals and values has become a place where conservatives like you and I are constantly and frequently finding ourselves up against an ever-increasing blockade. A blockade of liberal tactics and smears. We find ourselves shouted down and shut up, but we will not be silenced. Yeah, well-to-do white kids. A lot of movement to silence them in this world. How do they get by? A little bit more from this reporting. The complaints about free speech on campus came just weeks after the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater was the epicenter of a fight over the issue across the entire UW system. Earlier this month, UW system administrators announced they'd be moving forward with a survey of student beliefs about campus free speech following the intervention of Republican legislators. So this ain't a, you know, what do kids really think? This is more of a push-pull that Republican legislators are force-feeding to students on campus, specifically the Whitewater campus. A little bit more. The administration's decision to move forward with the survey led to the resignation of Whitewater's interim chancellor, James Henderson. The Student Perceptions of Campus Free Speech Survey. I love how Republicans, they're good with names and bumper stickers and stuff like that. Governance, not so much. Which was set to be conducted by the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service and is funded by UW Stout's Menard Center for Public Policy. John Menard, a big Republican donor, just so you're aware, which was started by a donation from the conservative Charles Koch Foundation and bears the name of John Menard, a prominent Republican donor. At least I was right about all that. UW System Interim President Michael Falbo, you know, kind of like the pizza guys, had initially told campus chancellors the survey would not move forward, but after the intervention from Republican legislators, Falbo reversed course. The reversal is what caused Henderson to resign after releasing a statement in which he said he felt chancellors were being left out. I felt like I could not encourage candidates to apply for the chancellor job because of what I consider to be a lack of support from the University of Wisconsin system leadership. I thought chancellors had a role in a collaborative process to make decisions with the system, and I feel that was not honored. A little bit more here. In the speech last night, well, recently, Kellyanne Conway, again, the topic, in her speech at UW-Whitewater, Conway got loud applause from the audience as she made fun of Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential candidacy and President Joe Biden's drooling, it says here in air quotes. She declared that Tesla CEO Elon Musk's pending purchase of Twitter would make the platform fun again. Oh, yeah, I have a great time on Saturday nights just hanging out on Twitter. Well, I used to when it was fun. Musk has promised to make free speech a central tenet of his plan for the social media platform. And Conway also indulged the audience's belief that Trump didn't lose the 2020 election. That's where the Big Light Barbie reference came from, just in case, you know, CJ's listening. Recommending a conspiratorial documentary rigged the Zuckerberg-funded plot to defeat Donald Trump. Wisconsin was a central location for Zuckerbucks, Zuckbucks. Well, Michael Gabelman, the, you know, overstuffed Italian sausage of a man, Gabelman, the special counselor here in the state of Wisconsin, called them Zuckerbucks. So, you know, pardon me if I don't read exactly as the article is written here. A little bit more here. Damn, Wisconsin people try to run a election in a pandemic. You know, something like that. But here is how this article concludes. Conway also complained about how long it took to count votes in the 2020 election after a surge in pandemic-caused absentee voting. Now, I would point out the Republicans set all the rule for voting in the state of Wisconsin for the last decade. They had all the levers of power. So all the complaints you hear about the administration of the elections, just remember the Republicans wrote all the rules. And one of the rules they wrote is you couldn't count absentee ballots before Election Day. So in large metropolitans, let's call them Madison, Milwaukee, you got tons of Democratic blue absentee ballots. You know, overwhelmingly, about 80% of the absentee ballots came in favor of Joe Biden. And they all had to be counted basically at the end, right? The totals of absentee ballots, especially in Milwaukee, they came in quite late. But when they came in overwhelmingly for Joe Biden. And they turned the numbers, or at least mathematically, when you added up the new Joe Biden votes, it looked like Joe Biden had taken a large lead that he eventually held on to by about 21,000 votes. Or, as Kellyanne Conway would describe it, Wisconsin was ground zero for it, meaning election fraud. I feel like the fix was in so many places. The fix was in, according to Kellyanne Conway. And, of course, you know, Gableman, the Italian sausage of an investigator. And apparently even gubernatorial candidate Rebecca Clayfish. Because she's the big lie, Becky. We talked about her earlier in the week. They're all going back to the big lie because it energizes the base. The base being the foolhardy. Those that would believe that somehow Donald Trump won, except for all the illegal voters. Or the Dominion voting machines. Or what is it? I mean, you know, really, there are no plausible explanations for even their conspiracy theories. They don't really add up to anything. All the coulda, woulda, shouldas in the world, it's not going to make Donald Trump the president. But anyways, it makes me, you know, heartwarming to know that Scott Walker had a big guest. The wanker brought Kellyanne Conway to campus, and she turned out nearly 200. Come back. More than that listening right now, I strongly suspect. Kevin from Madison, be patient. You'll be next on the phones.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates, the Friday edition. Welcome back from the 420 break. Taking your phone calls, your Friday grievances right here. Dial us up, 844-967-2789. Kevin from Madison. I think this is the Kevin that gets me my Packer tickets, man. How you doing?
That's right. Doing all right. I haven't heard you in a while. I finally got my radio fixed after Walker broke it.
How long has that radio been down? Walker hasn't been the governor in nearly 4 years, Kevin, man. I've been doing this job every day.
Times are tough, I'm telling you, man.
Can you get the Devil Radio app for the love of God on your cell phone?
Anyways, I got a few things for you. I guess first of all, and I know you have enough smarts not to do this, but make sure you don't sound like an idiot. But if you want to get disinvited, I would say ask him who's assaulting all the women there, being Roger Ailes is no longer around.
Ooh, that would sting a little, I think, Kevin.
Yeah. And then another thing you could do, and I saw this down at the Capitol during the Walker administration when we were all down there, somebody had a Fox News sign. And it was news for dumb, and it was spelled F as in Frank, U-X. And it had their logo on it, their insignia. News for dumb.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Let's not repeat it. Let's not walk too close up to that edge. But, you know, I like the sentiment, Kevin. Now, I don't think they're going to allow me to use visual aids. I had thought, you know, maybe if I did like a Sinead O'Connor on Saturday Night Live, maybe if I took the Pope's picture or Donald Trump's picture and I tore it up. You know, maybe that would be the straw that broke the camel's back. What do you think?
Well, it could be. If you brought Dom with you and put him on TV, they probably wouldn't even turn the camera on.
I could maybe stow him away in the carry-on luggage. I'm not sure how I'd get Dom into the studio, Kevin.
Well, that might be a problem, but if you want to get disinvited, you put a picture of Dom with you on there, bring Dom with you, that'd get you disinvited.
You know, he's gone to lots of Trump rallies, and they let him in. I've always been surprised. He's actually the one that asked the question and shook Trump's hand. That wasn't me. That was Dom. While I got you on the phone, Kevin, I got to ask you. NFL draft started last night. What do you think of the Packers? Couple of defensive picks, man. Didn't we need a wide receiver?
Yes, but I didn't see any of the draft picks. I didn't see what happened. I was busy working.
Got a couple of stud defenders from Georgia. Some big kid, 308 with like a 4.77 40 time. And another linebacker, although Leo Chanel, the Badger. If you're going inside linebacker, I've never seen a better inside backer than Leo Chanel. I don't know why we didn't go there.
Well, I think if we would have just let Rodgers go to begin with, and we could have maybe picked up Russell Wilson for less money, we could have kept some of our good players.
Come on, man. Other than Devontae, oh, man, now you're getting on my nerves, Kevin. I got to let you go. Take care, brother. Talk to you soon. 844-967-2789. Don't get on my nerves, then I'm going to have a Friday grievance. Alan from Madison, what do you got for us?
Crudy, I think I got an idea. I don't know if it'll go over, but I think at the end of the show, you should tell them you've got a new logo for Fox News. And what you do is stand up, drop your drawers, turn around, and Fox is on one cheek, News is on the other, and below it you have We Fill the Void.
You know, I don't know if I got that kind of courage, Alan, but I love how you think, man.
Well, that's my idea for today. So, catch another flip-flop.
You know, Alan, my ass is just about flat enough. I could probably get a good Fox and News on there. Appreciate you listening. 844-967-2789. If you have any clever ideas for me, I'd appreciate it. And I'd be curious, did anybody, you know, lose their mind watching the NFL draft last night? I watched all night long, and I know our friends are not listening at this moment down at WCPT 820 in Chicago, but I thought all night long. Wonder who the Bears are going to pick. Apparently, the Bears didn't have a first-day draft pick. So not only do they suck and they don't have a first-rounder. The Packers got two. Anyways, you know, I enjoyed it. 844-967-2789. We'll take more of your phone calls. Just a minute. I had a couple of other little stories I want to get out there. This one is short, but I think it's important. There is another, I believe it's an Oath Keeper, that has pled guilty to seditious conspiracy. Not going to read much, but I do want to share just a little of this article. A cooperation from Ulrich of Georgia and James of Alabama, that is the last name of the two Oath Keepers that have pled guilty, in addition to others who have previously reached cooperation deals with the government, could arm prosecutors with substantial evidence as they work to secure the convictions of the remaining defendants, including Oath Keepers founder Stuart Rhodes III. The indictment against the broader group suggests that Ulrich discussed bringing firearms and ammunition. I thought our boy Ron said nothing but happy tourist. Discussed bringing firearms and ammunition to store at a hotel in Arlington, Virginia, where the group amassed a cache of weapons they called a quick reaction force. Ulrich was among a group of Oath Keepers who used golf carts to travel from the hotel to the Capitol. They had their little command central right there in D.C., at times swerving around law enforcement vehicles, while another defendant, Roberto Minuta, livestreamed, prosecutors said, in addition to 11 charged with seditious conspiracy. And that's a substantial charge. And that may factor in. Once they've got these convictions, and they've already got two guilty pleadings, but once they have these convictions, seditious conspiracy, then you start looking, who did they conspire with? Who wanted the Oath Keepers there? Who wanted the Proud Boys there? Well, you know, now they're starting to plead guilty and cooperate with the federal government, the DOJ. I think we'll get to the bottom of this. And Dom and I both a little excited. June 9th, the J6 committee starts doing primetime hearings. We'll broadcast them right here. I guarantee you we will broadcast the hearings right here on Devil Radio, and then we'll bring you all the recap coverage each and every day on the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You could be a part of this big show. I see you lining up on the phones. The good CJ, not the other one. Matt, I see you. I see another. Mark, I think that is. Come back with us. We'll start taking the calls at 844-967-2789. It's Friday. We air the grievances. Yours could be next.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
That's life.
That's life.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. Always love it when you air the grievances here. Dial us up, 844-967-2789. Before I get back to the phones, wanted to share a headline with you. Some thought bubbles being floated by the Biden administration. Student loan relief to the tune of 10 grand. Now, 10 grand's better than a sharp stick in the eye. Conversations. Progressives had been pushing for student loan relief up to about 50 grand. And the president can do this through executive order. Now, I'd seen some recent polling that suggested even young people don't necessarily want 100% student loan debt, you know, forgiveness. But a lot of people would certainly benefit from some relief. It would reduce the number of student loans in delinquency, this $10,000 forgiveness program, by about 30%. About 30% of all the people in current delinquency on their student loans would be forgiven their debts. So that would be a big deal in their lives, I'd like to think. It would cost the U.S. government about $382 million if there's no means testing. Now, I had seen that if you do means test it, let's say $75,000 for the household, you only forgive the debt for those making under $75,000 as a household, and suddenly knock the number down to like $182 million. And I'm thinking the Pentagon pisses that away in a long weekend. So, you know, we probably could afford to do that if the will was there. The question is that all you got, Joe Biden? B, do you have the will to pull the trigger? And C, should this be a means-tested thing? You know, if you're fortunate enough to have a good job out of college. But I can tell you, I know a few families making, let's call it 75 grand a year, this probable or at least possible threshold. Doesn't mean they're not struggling to make ends meet, especially if they got some kids in the house. You know, 75 grand doesn't go as far as it used to. And a lot of people live on a lot less than that. I'm not trying to, you know, diminish what some people make do with. But 75 grand certainly isn't rich out there in the world. So if you're going to do it, Joe, do it substantially. And the American people, we would understand. And it would incentivize the economy. Now, I've seen Republicans say, well, this would create rampant inflation. Joe's just printing more money. No, he's forgiven debt. Forgiving debt, that's quite different than giving money or printing money. And if he did forgive some of that debt, some of those people might, you know, actually be able to go out and start a small business, let's say, or buy their first house. It would actually probably stimulate the United States economy. But then we might get more inflation. Well, you know what? We had a contracting economy in the first quarter. You want to give it a boost? Give kids a break, perhaps a substantial break, and you'd see the U.S. economy might come roaring out of the first quarter. 844-967-2789. Matt from Johnson's Creek. Welcome, Matt. What do you got for us?
Hey, I just got a quick one, Cooney. So I've been kind of watching with glee the implosion of Madison Cawthorn.
Oh, yeah.
And given that it's draft season, I figure you're probably one of the only people that might get this reference, but if the 2020 congressional class was an NFL draft, then Madison Cawthorn is basically the Ryan Leaf of that draft, right?
Could he be the Tony Mandarich of that draft, perhaps, Matt?
No, I'm just the way he's imploding on himself, all these self-inflicted wounds, it's like he got a little taste and he lost his mind. And it's That's what happened to Ryan Leaf, and I think it's. And I wonder too. I wonder if the Republicans have done the risk assessment of throwing this guy so thoroughly under the bus that he might wind up being, to make another sports reference, the Jose Canseco, where oops, turns out he was telling the truth the whole time, and now you got a problem because he's disgruntled.
You know, that's interesting, Matt. Thanks for listening. 844-967-2789. Be like Matt. I mean, this guy's had a hell of an April. Let me share a few of the headlines, and then we'll get back to the phones. Madison Cawthorn. Republicans have only themselves to blame for Madison Cawthorn. A few of his highlights. Dana Milbank takes note at the Washington Post. It's been quite a month for young Madison Cawthorn. The 26-year-old Republican congressman from North Carolina was caught bringing a loaded gun through airport security. His second such incident, police released footage of him getting pulled over for driving with expired tags and being told to surrender his revoked license. The Washington Examiner reported allegations against him of insider trading, and Politico published photos of him partying while wearing women's lingerie. I was thinking about wearing that on Fox News. You can't hold that against the guy. And a former congressional aide filed a workforce complaint against him. Most public figures would call a stretch like that a good reason to resign. Cawthorn might just call it April. Earlier this year, Cawthorn called Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky a thug and his government incredibly evil. He alleged that his congressional colleagues engaged in coke-fueled orgies. Why don't I get invited? He committed the latest of many driving offenses. 3 court dates are pending. And earlier, 4 women accused him of sexual misconduct in a BuzzFeed article. Now, Cawthorn denied those allegations. It has belatedly occurred to fellow Republicans that Cawthorn might be a liability. You think, boys and girls, you think he might be the bad apple, or at least one of them. A GOP super PAC launched an ad last week saying Cawthorn tells lies for the limelight. I think a lot of them do. More from Dana Milbank at the Post. But Cawthorn is a monster of Republicans' own creation. His character flaws were fully displayed when he first ran for Congress in 2020. Nods to white supremacists, extravagant lies, accusations of sexually predatory behavior, overt racism, and a long list of driving offenses. Craven Republican leaders knew all that and embraced him unreservedly. Elston Cawthorn in his May primary won't cure this Republican illness. The North Carolina congressman is just a symptom. More than 50, count them, 50 QAnon believers have run for Congress as Republicans in 2020. That could be 25% of their caucus people. The liberal watchdog Media Matters reports several who participated in the events of January 6th have run for caucus. Have run for Congress. See Derek Van Orden in Wisconsin's 3rd congressional district. If Republicans succeed in taking the House in November, the new majority could make the current Congress with Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, Paul Gosar, Lauren Boebert, and the rest look like Perkalean Athens. I don't know what that means. I apologize. Cawthorn and many rising oddballs and extremists are the inevitable result of Republican leaders' choices, drawing increasingly uncompetitive districts, blessing unlimited dark money, exercising timid leadership, embracing disinformation, flirting with white nationalism, stoking conspiracies, and undermining elections. Cawthorn saw the GOP direction and did what he had to do to be successful. I absolutely will run for Congress, then 19-year-old Cawthorn told the Daytona Beach News Journal in 2015, a year after a spring break car wreck in Florida that left him in a wheelchair. And so he did. On the basis of audacious lies and winks at white nationalists. In 2017, he posted photos on Instagram with a bucket list trip to Adolf Hitler's retreat, the Eagle's Nest. Cawthorn referred to Hitler as the Führer, although he did allow that Hitler was evil. And as the Asheville Citizens Time Jezebel and others reported in 2020, Cawthorn named his real estate company SPQR Holdings, an abbreviated Latin phrase that has been co-opted by white nationalists. In a photo on his campaign website, he posed with a rifle and a pistol in a holster, featuring a symbol used by the Oath Keepers. He also used a backdrop for interviews, a Betsy Ross flag, which has been appropriated by white nationalists. And Cawthorn's campaign attacked a local journalist as someone who works for non-white males like Cory Booker, who aimed to ruin white males running for office. Poor white males. Then there were the fabrications. Cawthorn claimed to be nominated for the U.S. Naval Academy, but his plans were derailed that year after he nearly died in a tragic automobile accident. Now, the truth is the Academy rejected him before the accident. He said his friend who pulled him from the burning car instead abandoned him. Yeah, that's the strangest part at all. Guy saved his freaking life, and he said he was abandoned. He called himself the CEO of his business, but he was the sole employee and it had no earned income. He misrepresented himself as a full-time staffer of then Rep. Mark Meadows when his most extensive employment was apparently at a Chick-fil-A. On top of that, 150 former students at Patrick Henry College, from which Cawthorn dropped out after a semester, signed a letter accusing him of gross misconduct towards our female peers, predatory behavior, and vandalism, thrown in for good measure. And a Christian magazine reported on several women accusing Cawthorn of sexual misconduct. Now, Cawthorn denies these accusations also. Yet Republican leaders didn't hesitate to back Cawthorn. Donald Trump, after backing a rival in the primary, endorsed Cawthorn and campaigned with him, saying, "You're going to be a star of the party." Well, compared to Trump, you know. Senator Ted Cruz, Rep. Patrick McHenry, Republican from North Carolina, and the Club for Growth helped bankroll him. And the Republican National Committee, the RNC as they're known, gave Cawthorn a prime speaking slot at its 2020 convention. And the Republican National Congressional Committee hailed him as a fighter. And House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy named him a young gun. It's sort of a big deal over there in Republican circles. The highest level of the party's program to support top prospects. He's a top prospect. He's a five-tool guy. Well, he's a tool. Now that their young gun is off half-cocked, Republicans, as Dana Milbank points out, have only themselves to blame. 844-967-2789. What a quandary. I've got the good CJ and the other CJ, and they're both waiting online. Which one will I take? I think I'll take the good one. How you doing, CJ from Beaver Dam?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, man. Been a while. Welcome back.
My fighter grievance? I'm kind of a little jealous of Fancy being down in Florida tanning his dad's.
Yeah, I hope his low T problem has been solved with a week on the nude beach.
Well, I think the only image I've got in my mind is him with them trifold aluminum mirrors that he's got sitting in a reclining chair. But that's not why I called.
You've left us all with an impression, sort of a visual that we're never going to erase from our memory, CJ.
You cannot unsee. So anyway, going on Fox Sunday.
Yes, sir.
I want you to do this. To say, from what I understand, 90% of your Fox viewers are the feeble-minded and easily brainwashed by the Fox propaganda.
Well, they're not going to see themselves as such, as they're probably Fox News viewers. They're watching right then.
Quite honestly, my father is 91 years old, and he's one of them. That Fox is the only outlet that tells the truth.
CJ, did you see that article we talked about a week or two ago now? People were paid not to watch Fox News, but instead watch CNN. And they basically broadened their exposure. They were far more likely to be able to discern false coverage on Fox News. And the improvement in their sort of intellectual digestion of the news process improved within 3 days. And, well, just the amount of information, their informed level increased within 3 days, CJ.
That's astonishing.
Well, I don't know how to lay that all out in a 3-minute interview, though. They're not going to give me the opportunity to point it out either, I suspect.
The Fox pro-Russian propaganda is one that's beside me.
What was the old Russian propaganda? What was that organization called? TASS or something.
Yeah. I believe so.
I don't know how to work that in either, CJ.
If I could put a hit out for a company out of north of Appleton, I don't know if you've been in that area or neck of the woods, for Wacker Cheese, W-A-K-K-E-R Cheese. They're donating 100% of their donations to Ukraine.
Well, that seems like a noble cause, as long as they're not Wanker Cheese, because you don't want none of that. CJ, thanks for listening, man. We'll take more of the phone calls next. If your name is also CJ, I might get confused, though. I might drop your call just accidentally. You know, it happens sometimes. Come back. More Devils, more Friday grievances. 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the 5 o'clock happy hour. It's coming very soon, and a couple of fine guests. They include Ben Wickler. He is the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. He's going to join us from the top of the happy hour. And Dom always comes around, even most Fridays these days. So we're expecting Dom and Ben Wickler. Please stick around. You could be next, though. 844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got, man?
Hey, thanks, brother. You're not a coward, as inferred by Colin Austin, who posted that out on the web page there, on the Facebook page. But ask the host if maybe we should ban the Bible, ban the Bible based on this, the Song of Solomon is actually might be just as risque as Sheena Easton's "Sugar Walls" from back in the early '80s. That was a track that was pretty explicit, and the Song of Solomon is even more so. And maybe ask if you could sign up for the Tucker Carlson testicle tanning franchise to see what the cost would be to get on that, because maybe that would actually raise their hackles a little bit and make them embarrassed.
Do you think you can get like a tanning club coupon? You know, like I remember there used to be a lot more tanning places around, and you could get like the family pack, or you could go visit. I mean, think of all the size savings. You don't have to have the full bed, just sort of something about as big as a toaster. And, you know, you put the boys in there, and they come out, you know, nice and toasty brown, and your T levels are raised tremendously, at least according to the Foxy News, infomercial.
And, of course, what I've heard since then is that would probably actually lower your testosterone levels that rather than increase them. And maybe we should be encouraging the Foxy Foxes to do that. And I don't know. It's just a whole world of ridiculous these days. And and good on the Biden administration for doing the whole disinformation, going against disinformation, and the Republicans are whining about that. The one I brought up is they talk about, the open borders. The only people that have been whacking about open borders are the Republicans and the right-wing media, because the Biden administration certainly didn't say the borders are open. And let's look at the 300 Border Patrol agents that Biden wants to get employed, which is something that Trump did not do. He did not increase the size of the Border Patrol.
If Trump
should have done that. He just wanted to scam people on the wall.
Well, Mark, you make a good point, but if you recall, Donald Trump actually had state governor send National Guard troops down to the border. And then there was the private effort spearheaded by his buddy Steve Bannon to, you know, grift people and get them to privately fund building a wall. But mostly it was privately funding Steve Bannon, apparently. Against my better judgment, the other CJ. Welcome back, CJ. What do you got?
Well, as I listen to you, I can't believe you don't have a problem with candidates like Cawthorn, or you do, because you had Al Franken on earlier this week that resigned due to 8 women that he assaulted.
That's no, beautiful. That's not even true, man. There was pictures of him and a lady who became a right-wing supportive host, and they were inappropriate pictures, I have no doubt, CJ, but the only guy that made Al Franken quit was Al Franken. And I think, quite frankly, if he ran for re-election in Minnesota, he'd probably win a seat back.
Yeah, beautiful. Now we got an assaulter back in.
Come on, man. Your president had 20-plus credible accusers, CJ. Donald Trump was.
My grievance is actually that now the Hunter Biden and Harris do nothing administration has a misinformation leader like, what is it, Mayorkas, doing such a brilliant job at the Department of Homeland Security, has a woman in there who promoted disinformation. And now she's the head of the
government. Dude, did you just come over from the Fox News site? I mean, you're just reading down the page to me now. You going to watch me on Fox News Sunday, CJ?
All facts.
You know, nothing but facts on the Foxy
on,
News.
You're going on the number one news network, aren't you?
Well, the number one cable news network. There's a difference there, CJ.
Yeah, they have both sides of issues, and they prove it by having you on.
Well, you know, I'm the feckless liberal Marxist revolutionary to go take a beating for like 3 to 4 minutes.
You are the progressive Marxist liberal socialist, and consider yourself a Democrat, don't you? Or are you just a progressive?
Like, I'm sort of in and out of the party. I don't pay the dues, CJ. I just show up for the parties.
The Democrats are running us right now, and they're doing such a fabulous job. Biden. Yeah, 27 times he met with Hunter's companion. So how about
how many times did Trump meet with Putin, dude, before he was president? Just when he was trying to make a real estate transaction whatever the damn city is, Leningrad, St. Petersburg, I forget, Moscow, Trump Tower, Moscow. You know, it is ironic to me, and I'm not supportive of any leader that has been credibly accused of sexual abuse. Zero. I've got a zero tolerance policy for rapists like Donald Trump and Madison Cawthorn. And Al Franken, had he been accused credibly of raping a woman, CJ, you can bet your sweet ass he would have never appeared on The Devil's Advocates. But he didn't even touch the woman. He was photographed simulating fondling a sleeping woman's breasts, and she was wearing a flak jacket. So I don't think there would have been any actual skin-to-skin contact, if you know what I'm saying, CJ. Donald Trump was accused of raping a woman at Bergstrom's department store, and there's DNA evidence thereof. So, you know, you say tomato, I say your guy's a rapist. 844-967-2789. Let's talk about the mean girls of the GOP. You know, I bet they make CJ all hot and bothered. I'm talking, of course, about Marjorie Taylor Greene and her companion, Lauren Boebert. Oh, they are the mean girls. They're quite a pair. But what I did not realize, they're not really friends. In fact, right now, if you believe the headlines, they're warring with one another. And they had to be separated at a GOP conference. Hair pulling would have been soon and next. And a deep dive into squabbles that are pulling apart the ultra-conservative Freedom Caucus. Beavers is the reporter in this case. Not, you know, nice beaver. I just had it stuffed. But Beavers is the reporter's name. Beavers reports that at a recent conference, the two had to be separated. According to the report, Perjury Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert look from outside like MAGA twins, both loathed by Democrats and their incendiary right-wing rhetoric. But inside the House GOP, they're not quite buddy-buddy. The report notes that Boebert fits in more with the thinking of her Republican colleagues. Boebert's the team player here. And she joined many of them in being furious with Greene over her appearance at a white national conference. Well, you know, months ago. Here is a quote. Their confrontation grew so heated that at least one onlooker feared the Greene-Boebert back and forth might escalate beyond the verbal cage match into a real fight. Come back. We'll keep fighting. Dom and Ben Wickler are next.